Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome back, everybody. 6:05 at Edmonton. The Edmonton Oilers and the Winnipeg Jets tomorrow. Jets have dropped three straight. The two teams almost with identical records since the All-Star break. Edmonton 13-8-3. Remember, they carried a 16-game winning streak and won 24 of their previous 27 games before that. The Jets 14-10 in their last 24 games since the All-Star break. Jets with a +6 goal differential, Edmonton +12 since that time. On the season, Jets are at +45, Edmonton's at +47, this despite a pair of weekend losses. Lots of passion out there in the text line, on the Ashley Fine Floors text line, 780-496-0063. Keep that coming for us. Reminder, get the new floors you always wanted. Ashley Fine Floors, 143rd Street, 111th Avenue. We will tell you guests and orders now. Receive gift cards for Japanese Village, Edmonton's favorite place to celebrate your special occasion. Try a Wagyu steak today. Daily Faceoffs, Frank Saravalli for the horses and horse racing Alberta. Racing returns May 4th at Century Mile Racetrack and Casino. For more information, go to lahorses.com. And you can text us. As we mentioned, Ashley Fine Floors text line. We're going to hook up with Frank right now on the River Cree Resort Casino hotline. 780-496-0063. The River Cree Resort Casino excitement. Bet on it. We welcome back to the show Frank Saravalli. Hello, Frank. How are you doing?
I am pretty good, Bob. How's Winnipeg treating you?
It's Winnipeg.
Hey, look, I like Winnipeg, so you can't slag Winnipeg.
Yeah, you know what? This is a great place to be in October and November. It's cold in the prairies right now, and I don't denigrate. It's Winnipeg. It is what it is. And so, you know,
Winnipeg,
not everybody likes Edmonton.
It's a smaller version of Edmonton.
What's that?
I said Winnipeg is just a smaller version of Edmonton.
Well, it's funny. You go into Toronto, and so here's the deal. And I want people to understand. I got no problem with what the Leafs and Joel Edmondson and Jake McCabe did. The issue I had was about not enough requisite response from Edmonton in that game. I saw those two games completely differently this weekend. The Oilers should have beaten Ottawa on Sunday. They dominated the game. They weren't sharp enough around the net. They got a couple guys. No, Evander Kane didn't play yesterday. I'm going to all but guarantee he's in the lineup tomorrow. He hasn't scored in 15 games. Nugent Hopkins hasn't scored in 13. And that's part of the reason why the Oilers are sitting, you know, with a 600 points percentage since the All-Star break, is they're lacking a little bit of secondary scoring at critical times right now. But I had no problem with how they played against Ottawa. Why would I? They outshot them 36-16. Against the Leafs, I did not like that they didn't push back against Toronto's better players, because Toronto's support players were clearly, they had a role, and they were hunting Edmonton's top players in that game, and it took Edmonton too long to respond. But I'd like to get your thoughts. What do you think, Frank?
I see it pretty similarly. My question would be, I wonder if other teams that are in the playoff chase saw it similarly and view that as a blueprint to potentially attack the Oilers in the playoffs.
Yeah. So some other guys got to get out of their comfort zone. You know, like, I'll give you a guy that's gotten out of his comfort zone, Matthias Janmark. He wants to play. Yep, he wants to play. Like, Max Domi's a good fighter. That took courage. It takes courage to fight, okay? And he's dropped the gloves twice in the last 3 weeks here because he's desperate to stay in the lineup. And there's some other guys bigger than him. And, you know, and I think what happens is so many of the Southern, the GTA guys, they go back there. They got relatives there. They want to put on a good show. The Oilers didn't, like, Toronto had a plan. They executed. They played a direct, hard game against the Oilers. And the Oilers didn't do that until it was 5-0 and too late. And again, I didn't like the requisite pushback, Frank. That's kind of where I'm going.
Yeah, and I get it, and I would say that, you know, I'd just like to see more urgency in general at times. And I know that he's going to be an easy target this week because of, you know, some of the defensive zone play, and especially on that one that led to the goal. But, like, how many times have we said over the last number of years, of all the really good things that Evan Bouchard does with the puck, that's a pure work ethic thing. That's an urgency, that's attention to detail, it's ready to play, it's compete, it's work rate, it's all those things that you can control. It's not necessarily a skill thing. Like, you know, he wasn't, you know, danced out of his shoes. It was just, you've got to play hard in those situations. And I feel like, you know, that to me is kind of a microcosm of some of the ways that the Oilers in the last number of playoff runs have sort of beat themselves. It's not so much that they're getting outmatched by their opposition, or overpowered or outskilled or finessed. It's part of it is, you know, a balance between a hard edge and also a balance between, you know, being comfortable in those situations that make you pretty uncomfortable.
Well, in back-to-back Saturday nights on a big stage against Colorado, McKinnon in overtime, where Dreisaitl blew the coverage on Lehkonen in the corner with like 4 seconds left in the game, and then against the Leafs, against Matthews, geez, McKinnon and Matthews, what do they have in common? They can make you look bad. Bouchard looked a little lax. He also creates and gives a lot more than he gives up. If I had a criticism of him, it'd be that he doesn't shoot enough early on power plays, because I have a theory about putting pucks to the net in the first 20 seconds. Now, they went 2-for-3 last night, and they scored in their final two power plays against the Leafs on Saturday. So I do find it interesting with the skilled puck-moving defensemen. They seem to be the bane for a lot of the fans out there. You know, there's not the same appreciation. Does he need to continue to improve his compete?
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Yeah. I was going to say, I think the working theory on that is that they can do some things that not many other players in the league can do. But that part gets lost on people when the things that are in your control, you don't seize on. And people have a tough time looking past that. And, you know, it's also kind of the way our society works in general. We spend a lot of time thinking and talking about all the things that you can't do, as opposed to celebrating, you know, the things that you can, which is why I preface what I said about Bouchard, saying he would be the easy target this week for people to pick on. And you're not going to see a similar highlight clip go around showing the 17 other good things that he did in the game. But I do think that there's something to be said for, as an overall posture of the team, that at times when they're connected and cohesive, they're all pulling on the same rope, but at times it just is too lackadaisical. And I'll tell you what, another tone setter That's going to be a huge part of that in the playoffs, and I think a big, you know, missing piece that they had last year in the postseason because he was hurt is Kane. Like, I think they need more from Kane, no questions asked. And I think he's one of those guys that when he's on is incredibly valuable, but, you know, there's been stretches of time this season when he's been pretty quiet.
Well, he does. I mean, he doesn't have a goal in 15 games. He's got 4 assists. He's been quiet.
Production.
He needs to get goals. Evander Kane would be the first to tell you he was one of the guys that needed to be more physically engaged against Toronto. Darnell Nurse would tell you that they could have maybe used a little bit earlier pushback, and he could have been involved in that. You know, and I'm going to give Brad Treliving some credit here, because he took some heat, more so from the younger, more analytics-driven types in Toronto that worship at the altar of Kyle Dubas. Like, the hilarious thing about Toronto is if Nazem Kadri doesn't lose his head, Frank, they might have won a couple series before. And then they played better against Tampa in the series that they lost 2 years ago than the one that they won a year ago. They did. They outplayed Tampa for large portions of the 2022 series and lost it. And then last year, went in 6. So it's just, and they now they have, in my opinion, a bigger, more physical team, which they're going to need if they're going to play Florida. Because Florida is a different animal than anyone.
Florida is a lowercase east version of Colorado. They're not quite as deep, they're not quite as fast, not quite as big, but pretty darn talented and have a lot of similar threads that tie those two teams together stylistically. And look, I don't know ultimately what story is going to be written about the Leafs this year, but I understand what you're saying about Edmondson and Labushkin when he's healthy and the other guys that they've added. I think it was more or less at this point, it's wall covering. It's something to look decent without having to spend a lot. And that's really what the Leafs were looking for. They were involved in a bunch of different conversations, including you guys got a good view of Sean Walker. They went pretty deep on Sean Walker, trying to grab him from Philly. But they decided to check down, and I don't know if they felt like this isn't their year or if they needed to, you know, hang on to their assets or whatever it might be, given some of the holes that they had to try and fill. They're going into whatever first round series, whoever they play, whether it's Florida or Boston, probably as pretty decided underdogs.
Frank Cervalli is our Oilers Now headliner today for Wilhauk Beef Jerky. It's the best you've ever tasted. Search for Wilhauk, Wilhauk today. Frank, I remember, I just want to talk a bit about the Philadelphia experiment, how this is going to go with John Tortorella. Are the Flyers going to make the playoffs?
Yes. I mean, you watched this last week. They beat the Leafs, take the Canes to OT, and then beat the Bruins. Like, that doesn't look like a team to me that's faltering.
So Tortorella's done a good job. I don't always understand his motivations. I did think, well, you know what? I wasn't surprised. Brandon Dubinsky said something about the benching, the healthy scratch of Sean Couturier. Did you see that?
Yes, I did. Brandon Dubinsky was on our network on Morning Cup of Hockey talking about it specifically.
And what did he say exactly?
He just said this is classic John Tortorella. Doesn't say a lot to the player, doesn't give much insight, does it, and then when it seems like either it works and or that he's getting a rise out of people, decides to then basically double down and do it again.
5-0, the Edmonton Oilers were up in Columbus. 17, I'm thinking it was in 17-18 or 18-19, one of those 2 years. And Columbus comes out in the third period picking fights. And at the end of the game, Dubinsky fights Zach Cassian, and he caves his face in. Breaks his orbital bone in a fight with the left hand. John Tortorella did not do any media that night after the game. I always wondered what got said to the Columbus players after two that night. I got a pretty good idea what it was. You know? Mm-hmm. Classic John Tortorella. Guy gets hurt as a result from it. Interesting. But saying that, he's part of the reason why Philadelphia is there. He is.
Unquestioned.
They're in the mix.
Unquestioned good coach. I would make the argument, and in fact, I did make the argument before the season started. I think he's a nightmare coach for the Flyers, just given where they are. Like, they're vastly exceeding expectations. They're supposed to be a rebuilding team. And now they were caught in a spot this deadline where they probably weren't as aggressive as they should have been because they wanted to try and maintain a playoff position, and they decided to make certain decisions. So I think he's the reason why they've squeezed every drop out of the talent that they have. But I just would say he isn't what they needed right now. You take him and you put him in front of a team that has knocked on the door a few times and has been close, and that's the guy I think that helps get you over the hump, not necessarily someone that should be developing and or rebuilding a team.
Yeah. Any news on Arizona?
There's lots happening behind the scenes. I mentioned part of this last week, that the league is investigating and exploring all of the options that they have in front of them to potentially wrestle back control of this franchise from owner Alex Mariello. There hasn't been a public date posted yet for the land auction, and that part, you know, sort of remains hanging out there for some time in June, it sounds like. And in the meantime, the league had an opportunity last week to come out point blank and say the Coyotes are playing at Mullet Arena next season, and they haven't. They didn't at the GM meetings last week when I was there. And so that leaves you to wonder what exactly are these machinations? Has the league determined that they can be successful? Will they challenge it? Will they push the envelope? Will Alex Mariello fight back? That seems to be the line of thinking, is that Alex Mariello is headstrong, thinking that he can get this arena done and built. The league is not just skeptical of that, but I think also skeptical of the timeline in which he can actually get it done. And look, a lot would need to happen between now and then, but I have a sneaking suspicion, although, you know, lots of people seem to pour cold water on it, that the Oilers' trip there in their penultimate game of the season might be their last game at Mullet Arena.
Frank, I'm going to leave you with this. You know what the attendance was at Rogers Place yesterday for the Edmonton Oil Kings?
I do not.
17,000. In their last 10 home games, the Edmonton Oil Kings averaged over 10,000 fans per game. The team was out of a playoff spot on November the 1st. It's embarrassing what's gone on in Arizona.
Agree wholeheartedly. I think there's a number of NHL owners that agree, and I think the league to a certain extent agrees, even though this was supposed to be a temporary solution. They've yet to find a permanent solution to that, and that therein lies the problem.
Frank, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting it to change.
And I would argue that doing it with this owner in place would be further insanity.
Look forward on Friday to having you join us on Oilers Now.
Have a good week.
It's Daily Faceoff, Strength Cervelli for the horses and horse racing Alberta. Racing returns May 4th at Century Mile Racetrack and Casino. For more information, visit thehorses.com. Frank was our Oilers Now headliner today for Wilhauk Beef Jerky. It's the best you've ever tasted. Search for Wilhauk, Wilhauk today. We're going to get to a couple more texts on the Ashley Fine Floors text line, 623 at Edmonton. You're listening to Oilers Now. Randy has texted us on the Ashley Fine Floors text line at 626. Again, Frank singles out Evan Bouchard. Nobody questions Nuge. How much offense did the two players provide this weekend? Watch Nuge on the goal against Bouchard that involved Austin Matthews. What was Ryan doing on the 4-3 goal in Ottawa? How is this guy the Teflon man? Look at the productivity of both players. Well, I got to tell you, Randy, I'm a big fan of Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, too, but he'd tell you he's got to get going a bit offensively. And that text has entered a winner text of the week draw where winners receive 3 months of watches at My Favorite Car Wash, Great White Car Wash, 104 169th Street. We go to your Oilers Now prospect report for Reface Magic. Save money on your kitchen renovation. Don't replace, reface. Here's Brendan Escott.
Okay, well, we may as well let you know who James Steffen is. If you managed to miss this last week, he did sign with the Oilers, a 3-year entry-level deal after his final season with the Portland Winterhawks. 101 points. It's a pretty good pickup because he is literally 50 points clear of the next highest-scoring Oilers prospect, and I would not even consider Seth Griffith a prospect, nor should you. So this has been a really good addition, and he did tell Reed on the face-off show what kind of player that the Oilers can expect to get.
Yeah, I would say I'm a skilled forward who likes to finish all over the ice. I like to shoot the puck. I think my shot is one of my strongest attributes. And I would say I'm a hard worker that can play both the power play and the PK.
50-goal season for the son of Patrick Steffen. Again, that's James Steffen, Bob.
Yeah, and five shorthanded goals this year as well. That's the Oilers Now prospect report for Reface Magic. Save money on your kitchen renovation. Don't replace, reface. As we mentioned to you at this time, Ford Canada's President's Award is the most prestigious honor a dealership can receive. It's awarded for excellence in both sales and customer satisfaction. Uncle Milt says most customers are thrilled when they pick up their new vehicle, but the key to customer satisfaction is problem solving, and Brentridge, their team is dedicated to these solutions. That dedication has earned Brentridge their 13th President's Diamond Club Award. Reach out to Uncle Milt, Rich, Johnny, and the team at Brentridge Ford in Wetaskiwin. Cars cost less. 780-352-6048. James Dunn up next. Global news weather traffic update still to come. Colin Chalk with the Farm Report. And Reed Wilkins will make an appearance as well. You're listening to Oilers Now.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his 6-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his 2-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.